When we read in the first chapter of Genesis, God creates in 6 days the whole earth and all the universe. And each day, at the end of the day, he says, it's good. But on the sixth day, when he creates Adam and Eve, he ends the day by saying, it was very good. Adam and Eve were the crown of creation because they were made in the image of God, holy, righteous, perfect. They had fellowship with the Heavenly Father. They were united together. And yet, when Eve is tempted by Satan, by the wiles and the trickiness of Satan, she says, well, it would be good to be wise like God, and the fruit looks good. And so she succumbs to the temptation. You know very well the result. You've heard it from Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. All right, so if you think of this, in fact, there was a special warning on television this week about several illnesses, viruses. And even if you go to the store and you go to the place where the eggs are, you see that all of a sudden they've doubled almost in price because millions of chickens got virus. The virus of sin has permeated all mankind, and there's not a single one of us who is born into this nature who can say, I am not a sinner. Everyone must say, I am a sinner. And the scripture reminds us, the wages of sin is death. So in Adam's fall, we sang in the hymn, that sin has made it, even as we draw our first breath, we are covered with the curse of sin, which is death. Today, as we look at our reading from Genesis, we find not only does God acknowledge that he is the creator, but that he also punishes sin. And that very first pronouncement that he makes to Eve is actually the first good news that is given, that Satan will be at war with her descendants. The curse of Satan is that he must creep on his belly. But most of all, his bite, his venom, will indeed cause death. It will bruise your head. You will strike his heel. And if you want to kill a snake, how do you do that? Crush the head. That's what it says. He will crush your head. You will bruise his heel. In other words, as we sang in the hymn, death by death conquers, and it is the death of Christ on the cross as our substitute. In fact, we have one of those big, long theological words. He is the propitiation, the full payment that is made to set free. That Jesus does that by his death and by his resurrection victory. And so, when the curse is laid on the serpent, there is also a curse on Satan himself, that his head will be crushed and his days are numbered. Jesus said it himself, I did not come to be served, but to serve and give my life as a ransom payment. The Apostle Paul reminds us, as we sang in the hymn, as in Adam all die, so in Christ will all be made alive. And so the first Adam is followed by Jesus called the second Adam. I don't know if you know this, but what did God make Adam out of? Dust. Red dust. Could he have been the first Okie? His name does mean red dirt. Well, doesn't make any difference. Adam was the crown of creation, and yet by his falling into sin, disobeying God, and when God comes in, now those of you who are German, you need to know this. When he called, he said, Adam, wo bist du? Where are you? And that's, I hid myself in the bushes because I was naked. Now, God didn't have to answer. He didn't have to say, did you eat from that tree? He already knew it. And God gives a job to Adam in the garden. He was a caretaker. He got to name all of the animals. Now, some of you have done that with children and grandchildren. You've given them a nickname. In a way, it makes you superior to them because you named them. Well, in the same way, Adam was superior because of his job to till the garden and to take care of it. And that was part of what we still have today as we go through all kinds of attempts to conserve things, to make our earth a better place to live than we first found it when we lived. So we have all kinds of urging to conserve and to take care of the earth, which we are to do. But more than that, we are to recognize that we are sinners. We are born that way. We cannot escape. And everyone who is born into flesh is a sinner. But we have the second Adam who was born into our flesh and became one of us so that he could do what we cannot do. He lived perfectly without sin as a substitute for us. And so the good news is he crushes the head of Satan. He forgives us forgiveness. But we are always, as Luther described us, he says, we are at the same time sinners and saints who have been declared not guilty because of Christ substituting for us. Again, the scripture reminds us God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. Or he says, as Jesus did, I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. I know them by name. In fact, in the book of Revelation, we rejoice because our names are written in the Lamb's book of life, that we are somebody special and we have received God's great love. So as we look at the crown of creation, mankind, we also look at the Christ of creation, but is also the Savior of the world, the Redeemer, that's the word that we use, and that he has taken our place as our substitute, and we have new life in his name. We have a place in heaven. We have an assurance, a hope that does not disappoint us. Our epistle for today echoes that same idea that he has prepared this place for us. He goes to prepare it for us and welcomes us into his kingdom, into his heavenly home. So we rejoice in the fact that as in Adam all die, so in Christ will all be made alive. We have a place prepared for us, and Jesus welcomes us as our good shepherd, the one who laid down his life for us. So as we confess in the Creed, Jesus incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary. That's becoming a human being, and yet he's the Son of God. And only as the Son of God can he do it perfectly, which was what was required to set us free. In the gospel for today, we have this strange sentence that anybody who sins against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. Why? Because whoever rejects the gracious gift that God gives to us, by grace we are saved through faith, not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. It is the gift that gives us the account on our side is covered by our Lord Jesus Christ, and we have peace. We have a place in the kingdom of God now and forever. So the blessed message of that first curse that was made on Satan and the assurance that was given to, in fact, when Eve bears her first son, she thinks it's the Savior. She names him that. And we have the assurance that in Jesus Christ, we have died to sin and we are alive in Christ. That the power of the Holy Spirit is always at work in our lives. We are simultaneously sinners and saints. And as righteous saints, we are welcome into God's kingdom. When we have one of our famous grass fires here in Oklahoma, what does the fire department do sometimes to stop the advancement of the fire? They light another fire. It's called a backfire. And so by removing the fuel for the oncoming fire, they're able to curb it and to stop it from coming over a house or another town or something like that. So it is by fire they are set. Now we have the same thing. We had it in the hymn that we sang, that by death, death is overcome. By the death of Jesus in our place as our substitute, we have the gift of pardon, peace, and eternal life. This morning as we celebrate Holy Communion, we heard it again. Here is my body given for you. Here is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins and the assurance of pardon and peace and a place in God's family now and forever. This is the good news that was given to Eve and to all mankind, that the devil is defeated by Christ's death and resurrection, and that's why we shout with triumph, he is risen indeed, hallelujah, that we have a place in his family forever. Nobody can take it away. That's the assurance. That gives us peace, gives us a place that we can look forward to joining him as he rules on the throne, sits at the right hand of the Father in honor and glory, because he was ready and willing to obediently do the Father's will, to do what he had promised to Eve, that he would crush the head of Satan. Victory is ours. We have a place in his kingdom forever. So we rejoice and we give thanks. And in those hymn verses, we have that very same assurance that I'm just sharing with you, that all mankind fell in Adam's fall. One common sin infects us all. From one to all the curse descend, and over God's wrath impends. Though all our powers is corruption creeps, and us in faithful bondage keeps. In guilt, we draw out our infant breath and reap its fruits of woe and death. From hearts depraved to evil prone, now flow thoughts and deeds of sin alone. God's image lost, the darkened soul seeks not nor finds the heavenly goal. But Christ, the second Adam, came to bear our sins and woe and shame, to be our life, our light, our way, our only hope, our only stay. Think of how often that idea which Jesus shared with his disciples. I am the light of the world, he said. And you don't walk in darkness because you have the light. And he is that light. So each and every day we have opportunity to let our light shine that they might glorify our Father in heaven. So that first announcement in Genesis 3 of the gospel message still resounds in our ears and in our hearts now and forever. And that's good news. So we commit ourselves to hearing God speak to us the good news. Your sins are forgiven. You have a place in my kingdom forever and ever. You're part of the family. And each day, there's a restoration that takes place as we remember the power of the Holy Spirit, that we accept the gracious invitation that our Holy Spirit gives to us, and we hang on to the promise of God that he so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Joy, hallelujah, because he is risen indeed. We have a place in his family again. So we pray for the Holy Spirit to arrive again into our hearts and into our lives as we let our light shine. May God indeed bless us through Jesus our Savior. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus now and forevermore.